witness will be conducting your hearing, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, sir.
Sir, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Well, good morning. Can you state your name and ADC number for the record, sir?
Andrew Marlon Rule, 31059.
Thank you, sir. We're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on your teleconference screen, off to my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing, and to my immediate right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. I'll begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Andrew Noble is 71 years old. He was certified eligible by DOC for 31412B parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. He is serving a 25 years to life sentence for 3 concurrent counts of molestation of a child and 1 consecutive count of kidnapping, which occurred on or about December 24, 1984. He was 37 years old at the time of the incident offense. He was convicted by jury trial on October 10, 1985, and sentenced on November 26, 1985. His case was appealed and upheld on January 28, 1987. He's been parole eligible since July 13, 2012. Does everything sound correct so far, Mr. Noble?
Yes.
I will now read a summary of the offenses in question. On December 24, 1984, the victim was walking from her apartment to her aunt's apartment for a Christmas Eve dinner. Mr. Noble had walked up behind her and asked for directions. When she responded to his inquiry, he followed her across the street and then grabbed her hair. He told her, if you scream, I'm going to stab you. He then walked her along the roadway, constantly pulling her hair. Half a block further, he forced her into some bushes near an apartment building and said, you better do what I tell you or I'll choke you. As he approached the building, he said, I want you to jack me off. And I apologize for the language before guests and representatives in the room. When the victim told him that he did not know what he meant, Mr. Noble said, I'll show you. Mr. Noble forced the victim into a bush, but not into the ground. He pulled his pants down and exposed his penis. He told the victim to pull her pants down. When she resisted, he grabbed her on the neck and pushed her head into the wall. He then started pulling down her pants and said, if you don't take them down, I'm going to have to hurt you. The victim then unzipped his pants, and Mr. Noble pulled her pants under her pants down and rubbed her vaginal area with his finger. He then placed his finger inside her vagina. I recognize that this is getting graphic. So I'll move forward and state that she did not know if he had completed the sexual act. He finally pulled his pants up and asked for where she lived. He also asked how old she was. When she stated she was 12, Mr. Noble said, I thought you were about 16 or 17. He then told her, I'm going to walk you home so no one will, and I'll just say F with you. He then walked her toward her aunt's apartment where the victim's mother was waiting for her. As they approached the apartment, the victim saw her cousin in front of the apartment and she ran inside. According to Ames, Mr. Noble has completed very limited programming in DOC and has no release plan. He has an extensive history of discipline from 1984 to 2006, with his last major on May 5th, 2014 for drug possession. He also has a criminal history dating back to 1971, including a prior felony conviction for sexual assault in 1978. This is his 8th hearing before the board, including a special in 1995, in which he was not recommended to the governor. He has no letters of support in his parole packet. It should be noted that we have a letter dated October 9, 2017, from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing Mr. Noble's parole. Mr. Noble, I believe we have 4 new board members since our last parole hearing on August 31st, 2016. That being stated, this is an opportunity for the board to get to know you. Therefore, let's start, I'll start by asking Mr. Noble, please tell us about the offense and or the situation that resulted in your incarceration, sir.
Tell me what?
Tell us about what led to you being in prison, the crime in question, sir.
What you mean?
Meaning?
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, tell us about you're in prison for molestation of a child and one consecutive count of kidnapping. So, in your words, tell us what happened.
Tell me what happened?
Yes, sir.
What did you read?
Well, sir,
I read what happened.
Well, sir, I read
a... What you want me to do? You just read what happened.
Well,
what you want me to...
Well, let me ask you this question. I read a synopsis of the case. Do you agree that that's what happened?
No.
Oh, well,
I don't agree.
Then, in your words, tell us what happened.
Tell me what happened. I got arrested on this case. This case goes back to 1984. I got arrested. I got let out of jail on this case. I had $1 million lawsuit against the state of Arizona before I got paroled in the state of Arizona. I got out and went to Texas. And after my father passed away, called back with my lawyer, Mr. Hastings, and he told me, he said, hey man, we got a rape case against you here in Arizona. So I went up there to jail up there in Texas, Seymour, Texas, and asked the man today, I want up with arrest. Checked the computer, he said, no, not in Texas. So I told him to check Arizona, he told me he had arrest. I told him I wanted to go back to Arizona. So I turned myself in, signed extradition, came back here. My case is still there. His Department of Parole in state of Arizona. And I thought I was going to win the case. They offered me a little bit of money. I think it was $49,000 to sell it. I wouldn't sell it. They took me to court on my lawsuit. And I lost the lawsuit. They appointed me a lawyer, Mr. Brown, to fight for the case. And everything broke out and went to hell. Case I was convicted on, they had already dropped the case on me. I talked to my parole officer. He wouldn't violate me. And I went to trial. A whole bunch of stuff went wrong, lawyer and so forth. I ain't ever, all these life sentences I got now, so I'm here. Serving my time. Ain't nothing I do. I've been fighting in court for years now, but it's all, usually different things the law, they all screw my case up, and I'm back in court trying to get it unscrewed by and get some of the issues. Identification, what about identification at trial? I think it's with the man, I don't know for sure. That's what the identification. No truth in there against me. I thought I was doing a good thing turning myself in because I wanted to come back and face whatever they had. I ended up in state detention. Some whole bunch of other stuff went wrong. So I'm here at the parole board. They denied my parole transferred into my other number. So I realized Wayne is all over for me right now. I'll be 96, 97 years old by the time I see y'all again. I don't know if I'm gonna make it that long. So here I am, bad things will happen. I'm innocent, I plead innocent, I fought this trial, but they brought that 79 case, you said 80 case. I went back to court on that and I beat that, I got that overturned, and I cop out to a 10 to 12 year sentence on that case. A 10 and a half year sentence on that case. I took a plea bargain because I was already doing a crime for, forgery. I got a 10 to 12 year sentence on forgery. And got a 10 and a half sentence on that sex assault, which the court overturned due to prosecution misconduct. That's why I got it overturned. And so I cop out to the 10 year sentences. I was doing the other sentences already. And here I am.
And that's about it.
Okay, sir, this hearing is a parole hearing about the three counts of molestation of a child and one consecutive count of kidnapping. Again, this is a 412B parole hearing to only consider parole to your next sentence, which would be kidnapping. So are you saying that you did not commit the crime of molestation of a child?
I'm sure saying that I didn't.
Okay.
So?
I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, sir, doctor. Oh, yeah. Pardon, go me, Mr. Johnson.
So I just wanted to just make sure that I'm clear. You're 71 years old now?
Yep, 71.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Wright.
I just wanted to ask you one question, sir, Mr. Noble. I know this is all the way back to 2014, but at that time you were in possession of drugs. You had three tickets at that time. What kind of drugs did you have while you were incarcerated, sir?
I was in possession of drugs. What year was that?
2014.
2014, I
think they may call homebrew. I think y'all call it, whatever you call it, homebrew. I think they do that too, but this was in 2014. Yes, sir, you were possession of drug paraphernalia, which was a major. That was in May of that year, and in April of that year, well, the next one was possession of manufacturing. I think you were manufacturing some hooch or some homebrew, and that was 14, and so I was just trying to ask what was going on in 2014 with this, whatever you were doing, sir.
Now, the only thing I can say
is
the hooches, they got me on that. I made some homebrew. Now, I'm trying to think about drugs. I ain't never been caught in the penitentiary here since I've been in the penitentiary from 1962.
Since I was not there, Mr. Noble, I'm going to assume that they was talking about that hooch homebrew. I think that's what they were talking about when you got those tickets, sir.
Yeah, I got caught with some homebrew.
Yes, sir. Okay. That's all I wanted to ask. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
So Mr. Noble, you indicated that you had a prior conviction of sexual assault. Is that right? With intent to commit rape, and when you pled, it looks like you got an 8-year sentence in the prison for that. However, you stated that the victims wanted to have sex with you.
Oh, you talking about the 1964?
This is yes, sir.
Yes, it's 1964. Well, she stayed right there, so we've been, on it all my life. I was 18, I think I got out of Fort Grant, during time in Fort Grant back then. And we lived up together. And I went to Black California, went to a pitching waterman up there in Black California, came back to Phoenix. And I was sending up money back and forth from up there for my job. And we done got into it about my money. And that's how that case come about. I got 8 years on that, 48 years on that, 1964. I remember that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
But we already been had sex a dozen times before that.
Okay.
Before I even went to class.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Dr. Wright.
I just want to ask one other question. Now, I'm back to the ones that you said you were not guilty in 1985, which was the molestation of a child. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're incarcerated at the moment. But as a follow-up to that, did you actually, I want to be very sensitive how I said, did you actually have sex with that person and you thought she was older than she was, or you did not have sex with her at all, the one from 1985, so the reason you're incarcerated now?
No, I never had sex with that child in 1985.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, sir. Thank
I
you.
I wasn't even nowhere around. First, I came out of my case here because it's it was a true step, man. I believe this is my own hopes, I hardly believe it, because they had to have some kind of, because when I went to my child for my lawsuit, that was the most promising thing that they talk about was this case that I'm in now. They didn't talk about the lawsuit and how they built it. And the prosecutor got on that. He made a thing out of that about my being a child molester and being in prison and all this stuff here. And that basically what the jury frowned up on the kid and in favor of the prosecutor, of the state, trying to stay not guilty. But I did a lot of crime, man. I did a lot of everything in my life. You know, I ain't trying to be no saint to say I'm innocent of a lot of things. But sometimes you get caught, sometimes you don't. I get caught, it's caught. I admit to it and take whatever punishment I got. But on this case here, I ain't molested no child. Now, I have had sex with these girls. I was in 64. I was 18. I think at the time she was about 14 or 15. But nah, I ain't did no crime on this case here, but I came out of that and I ain't trying to prove no point with y'all with it. I'm just saying I'm not guilty of it.
Okay, we accept that, sir, and as you probably know, since you've been before this board before, this is not a court of law. We can't retry you at any rate, so we're just asking questions. But thank you so very much for your honesty, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Ryan. Just for a quick correction, according to the records, the crime in question occurred on December 24th, 1984. But he was convicted in 85, just to be clear on that. Any further questions?
Yes, sir.
Any further questions? Okay, Mr. Noble, this is your hearing. Would you like to give a final statement before the board goes into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself, but is there anything you would like to share with the board?
No, that is. That should be changed, because I ain't never been caught in the convention of drugs. Now, homebrew I have, maybe homebrew, but I can't recall. Somebody else checked into that and see and see what the deal is, because I ain't never had big trouble with no drugs in the penitentiary.
Well, sir, I appreciate what you're saying. I went through a quick review of the file, and of course, the shortened version of that is possession of drugs when you see it on the short list. If you look at the long version, it says possession of an intoxicating substance, and that would include alcohol or homebrew.
Okay.
So it is clear in the detailed records. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I did that, but when you said drugs, it kind of, you know, put me in that category.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
The board is now going into discussion. It may sound like we're having a discussion with you, but it's really the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision regarding whether or not to grant or deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. So if you'll just remain quiet, you can stay on the phone because we operate under the open meeting laws. We're going to have our discussion and we'll get back to you shortly with our decision, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir. The board is now in the discussion. Fellow board members, I do believe it's tragic in as much that Mr. Noble has been in the correction system for quite some time. He's 71 years old. And again, we're here for a parole to the next consecutive sentence, not a full 12B where home arrest or a parole to the outside is an option. I will say, as one voting board member, that my concerns are at this point is that he's had, pardon me, so little programming, although I will note that he does have a GED here noted in his special activities. Nothing in the way of sexual offender programming, no release plans, and a pretty lengthy, very lengthy history of infractions or discipline inside the Department of Corrections. So that's where I want to begin this discussion. I'm not finding him suitable for parole to the next sentence, but I am certainly open to the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Quinones, I do understand what you're saying, but if I'm reading this right, it's parole to his next consecutive sentence to another life sentence. Am I reading this right, that he has his next consecutive sentence?
I'll certainly take that into consideration because I may have, and of course you know we have these Ames records, have a lot of abbreviations.
Mr. Chairman, yes, according to Ames, he will be moved to his next sentence, which would be a life sentence according to Ames. And that can be seen in a couple of places. One, the document itself that they
put in
Ames also shows.
Yeah, pardon me. I thought the three molestation sentences were concurrent, but they're six consecutive.
Yeah, yes.
So that being stated, and I thank you for that correction, and that's the beauty of having a five-member panel. I did misinterpret that as three concurrent counts, not consecutive counts.
Yeah, I think he's 71 years old now, and moving him on to his next consecutive sentence would be another sentence. He'd be in his 90s. Or he would even be eligible for parole.
Thank you. I'm absolutely open to that. Like I said, I thought those three counts were concurrent, not consecutive. So that being stated, it doesn't really change what I've said in the discussion, but I am certainly open to parole to the next consecutive sentence, considering what he's confronted with. And once again, that's where I'd like to begin the discussion. So I've heard from you, Mr. Johnson. Anyone else?
Are we sure about that? Because I'm looking at court documents.
Well, he's currently, according to what we see from Ames, and please correct me on this one, he's currently serving three sentences for molestation of a child, which are concurrent. But the one for kidnapping, that is consecutive. That one is the future. And that's the one that he will be going into in the future, the one for kidnapping.
Pardon me for self-correcting here. I was right about the concurrent sentences.
Yes.
The thing that I was missing was that his next sentence is for life.
That is true. Right. And I haven't been in the
Okay, so I actually feel a little vindicated, but you're still right, and that is that his next sentence is a life sentence. And I remain open to parole to the next consecutive sentence.
So do I, sir.
Given his age at this point, yes, I agree.
Thank you. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see how we vote. I'm going to I'm going to make a motion to grant parole to the next consecutive sentence, but not absolute discharge.
Second.
Agree.
And not general parole, yes, sir.
Yes, and not general, yeah.
Agree.
And I'm sorry, Ms. Rittenhouse, that was a second.
I agree. Mr. Johnson, second.
I'm going to have to make a correction here, Ms. Rittenhouse. I thought you seconded it.
I'll let y'all debate that one.
Nope. I'm just going to make my initial. Those are orders. So I made the motion. Mr. Johnson seconded. The other three board members agreed to grant 412B to the next consecutive sentence. And I believe that would bring our hearing to a conclusion. Mr. Noble, did you hear what we said? Mr. Noble? Mr. Noble? Sir?
Mr. Noble?
He's asleep.
Mr. Noble?
Mr. Noble, can you hear us? Oh, he had it off. Mr. Noble, can you hear me? The board has voted to grant your parole to the next consecutive sentence. Do you have any questions? Because we're about to bring this hearing to a close.
No, I don't have no questions.
Okay, sir, thank you. And this hearing is concluded.
All right, thank you.